Hear the word of God as it is written in the book of the prophet Habakkuk, reading from chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 4. This can be found on page 712 of the Pew Bibles. The prophet Habakkuk questions God as he sees wickedness all around him and no sign of action from God to stop it. Habakkuk chapter 1, reading from verse 1. This is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. What lies ahead for Judah? The Lord replied, "Look around at the nations. Look and be amazed, for I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. I am raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They will march across the world and conquer other lands. They are notorious for their cruelty and do whatever they like. Their horses are swifter than cheetahs and fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their charioteers charge from far away. Like eagles, they swoop down to devour their prey. On they come, all bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind, sweeping captives ahead of him like sand. They scoff at kings and princes and scorn at their fortresses. They simply pile ramps of earth against their walls and capture them. They sweep past like the wind and are gone, but they are deeply guilty, for their own strength is their God. O Lord, my God, my Holy One, you who are eternal, surely you do not plan to wipe us out. O Lord, our rock, you have sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for our many sins. But you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at their treachery? Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? Are we only fish to be caught and killed? Are we only sea creatures that have no leader? Must we be strung up on their hooks and caught in their nets while they rejoice and celebrate? Then they will worship their nets and burn incense in front of them. These nets are the gods who have made us rich, they will claim. Will you let them get away with this forever? Will they succeed forever in their heartless conquests? I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct messages to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. In my talk earlier with the young at heart, some of you may have been surprised that the money in the envelope, the 7.5 pence, was the correct answer to the mathematical equation. And some of you may have been doing the calculations in your head since the talk and worked out that no matter what numbers you chose in the grid, the answer is always going to be 7.5. Some of you may know me well enough to know that I would be the kind of guy that would cut a penny in half. For others, it may have been unexpected. The Bible is full of God doing the unexpected. Giving free will to humans is unexpected. Giving his life to save us from our choices in free will is even more unexpected. When God does the unexpected, very few, if any, are not surprised, shocked even. Today we continue our series on the minor prophets. And this morning we take a closer look at Habakkuk. The Bible tells us very little about his background. He just seems to appear without much introduction. But his words contain one of the most unexpected actions of God. So let's look closer. After a simple introduction, the book of Habakkuk begins with these words. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? This is a lament, a desperate cry for help in the midst of great trouble. The nation of Judah was in a precarious state. For many years subjugated to the Assyrians, they were now coming under threat from the growing strength of the Babylonians. And to make matters worse, there was an increased threat internally as the Jewish people continually turned away from God and his word. Habakkuk's words are also a complaint. He's not happy with the way things are. He has major issues to take up with God. And I suspect that we all do at times, if we are honest. Habakkuk was aware of what was going on around him. Despite his prayers to God for help and his action, he sees violence. He sees injustice and wrongdoing everywhere. And finally, in his distress, he cries out to God, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help?" Now, I'm sure I'm not the only one here that can relate to that. But perhaps we shouldn't be too eager to call God's justice down on others, because God might just decide that it's time to serve justice upon all sinners. If truth be told, we have already been tried and found guilty because we are all sinners. I like to think of God as our judge waiting to pass sentence whilst background checks are made into our character. When God answers Habakkuk's plea for help, the answer is unexpected. If Habakkuk thought things were bad under the oppression of the Assyrians, God's answer heralds something much worse. How would you feel if you were being bullied at school or work, and you prayed to God for help, and God sent an even bigger bully to take care of the first bully? That's not quite the help that you were looking for. So when God tells Habakkuk that he's going to raise up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people, I'm pretty sure how I would have reacted if I had been Habakkuk. I would have screamed at God, "What? You cannot be serious," in my best John McEnroe impersonation. Habakkuk does question God use of the Babylonians. However, he does it in a respectful way. He begins, "O Lord, my God, my Holy One, you who are eternal, surely you do not plan to wipe us out." Habakkuk remembers who it is he's speaking to. He acknowledges who God is. Then he goes on to ask the question, "Are we only fish to be caught and killed? Are we only sea creatures that have no leader? Must we be strung up on their hooks and caught in their nets while they rejoice and celebrate? Habakkuk doesn't stop there. He goes further, asking if God will allow this to go on forever. And then he climbs up to his watchtower to wait and see what the Lord will do. In response, the Lord instructs Habakkuk in the rest of chapter 2 about how all the sinful in the world will ultimately be punished, and that justice will be served completely. And on hearing this, Habakkuk in chapter 3 prays for mercy, and his words contain one of the greatest expressions of fearless faith to be found anywhere in the Bible. Most prophets speak to the people for God, but Habakkuk speaks to God for the people. He lived in times that were hard on faith. He saw the righteous suffering and the wicked prospering. He asked God the two questions that we often ask: why and how long? Why are these things happening? And how long before it ends? God reveals to Habakkuk that the Babylonians, the epitome of everything Habakkuk and the Jews detested, would be used by God to bring judgment on Judah. Habakkuk did not understand. He could not explain it. How could he? For a time, evil would win over righteousness, and bad things would happen to good people. And God would permit it, even orchestrate it. Yet, throughout this time of punishment, God reminded Habakkuk of correct living. He says, the righteous will live by their faithfulness in God. So God was going to punish the Jewish nation. And while they were being punished, they were to be faithful to God. Habakkuk realized that he did not understand God's ways or timings, but he could not doubt God's wisdom, his love, or his reliability. So Habakkuk wrote his great affirmation of faith in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Even though the fig trees have no blossom, and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk affirmed that even if everything he relied on failed, if everything that gave stability to his life crumbled, still he would trust in the Lord. If Habakkuk had been speaking today, he might say, though the scaffold falls, the stock market crashes, the company goes bankrupt, and the economy goes south, if everything I rely on falters, still I will trust in the Lord. My confidence in God will not waver. Holocaust survivor Corrie ten Boom knew something about tragedy and suffering. She lived with a courageous faith. Upon emerging from a Nazi concentration camp, she said this: there is no pit so deep that God isn't deeper still. There is no pit so deep that God isn't deeper still. She picked an apt analogy because pain and tragedy is like a pit. For some, it appears bottomless. Many experience a falling disorientation, a terror, as they grab for walls that are out of reach. They see only blackness and hear only voices of that echo the life they used to know. And for many, they claim that God is not present. But Corrie ten Boom, like Habakkuk, reminds us that even in the pits of tragedy, God is still there. He is present in our suffering. Pain is real, but God is real too. That's where faith comes in. Faith reminds us we may not fully grasp God's design for our lives now, but in time we will come to know God and trust in his love. Until then, we must believe in God. Believe that the God of the universe has a plan for our lives, and he is busy enacting it. But it's not easy to discern God's plan, because it's often above and beyond us. It's like we view life watching a parade through a toy periscope. We can only see what is immediately in front of us, but God is high above us and sees all life at one glance. He sees both the beginning and the end of things, while we see only the present. We are always wiser after the event, but while the crisis is occurring, we are unaware of why we're going through a tragedy. Only after, when we reflect, does it strike us that God was in it all along. For that reason, we must trust in the ways of God, believing that he is too wise to make a mistake. God can and does use all things, the good and the bad, that which he causes and that which he permits. God is here for you. He will never leave you. He cares too much for you. Even if the night is dark and the storm is raging, know that God is with you. Even when you can't see the hand of God, you can trust in the heart of God. But will you trust in him? Even if you don't understand why, will you trust him? Trust him, because you know that he knows why. Even if you wonder how long, will you trust him? Trust him because he knows the time and the length of suffering. Trust him without explanation, logic, and reasoning. Trust him because he is God. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, sometimes our lives a total mess. Sometimes we're in a pit and we can't see a way out, and it feels helpless and hopeless. Lord, this is your world. You have not abandoned it to us. You did leave us in charge of it, and we have made a mess. But you are there with us every step of the way. You look over us and watch us, and you have a plan for each and every one of us. And that plan is that one day we will spend eternity with you. And you have put that plan into motion, that we might know your Son, Jesus Christ, and know that no matter the pain that we go through, his suffering has paid our debt, and that our suffering will only be temporary, and that eternity awaits us where there is no more pain. Lord, hear our prayer, for we bring it in Jesus' name. Amen.